Welcome, everybody, to episode 402.
I totally didn't hear that intro.
You didn't?
Neither did I. No.
Really? I totally heard it.
No, you think you broke the show, Frank, and you need to start over.
You know what? It recorded it. I don't know what the hell. Let's see what's going on. Oh, I see it. Holy shit. Okay, I'll have to worry about that later. Welcome to episode 402 of RP Grinders. I'm your host, Frank Branches, alongside my trusty cords, Eric the Great.
I thought Frank had left us.
Yeah. I was just listening to the
intro. We are off to a rousing start.
Isn't that awesome, man? We're doing great here. That's the type of professionalism you're getting on RP Grinders, I tell you what, man.
We get paid the
big bucks. Like I said earlier, it's wow poopy.
That's right. I think Breakman got it right, man. That's why we get paid the big bucks, for sure. Alongside my trusty cohort, Eric the Great, Breakman the Bold, and the Frosted One himself. The Frosty One himself. Mug is back.
Rabies now.
Yeah. How was the latest sex orgy, Mug?
Well, it wasn't really an orgy so much as one person, but it went well.
Wait, man. Frank, you weren't here last week. Were you there?
I was here. I wasn't at the
orgy. No.
I was here for the beginning of the
subject.
Show.
You know what we all meant.
His dog was here.
Dog was here. Do I want to know?
No, I don't want to know that either, man.
Let me guess. You dropped your dog off at Eric's place on the way to the orgy.
Shit. Yeah, right. So, gents, how was your week? Start with you.
We're all thinking about weeks.
It's
chaotic.
Over. Chaotic. Yeah,
it had its good points and it had its bad points and. We'll get to that later.
Yeah.
My week's been really fast.
Yeah, that's good. That's always a good thing. Time flies when you're having fun. You must have been having tons of fun at work, Breakman.
Well, if you count masturbate. I mean, no, I would never do that at work. I mean,
today.
Today, yeah. this minute. All right. Well, let's get started with the news, guys. I know we got a late start to the show. Intro didn't play for anybody, which is fantastic. That's always a good thing. So let's get started with the news. Maybe the news will go by smooth. Eric?
Maybe it's trying to tell you it wants to go back to the old theme.
Yeah, maybe that's what it's saying. I've gotten different feedback for the intro. Some people like it, some people hate it.
I think it's always good to update.
Yeah.
So I'm cool with it.
Yeah, I'm okay with
it. The update's an improvement, though.
It's true, but sometimes sometimes it'll work towards maybe improvement.
Yeah. Sometimes it just takes a little bit.
Unlike our government.
Yeah, exactly. All right, gents. Eric, let's start with the news, man. Let's get the shit show on the road, man.
My first piece of news
is... So much confidence.
Steamport. this is from Matsu. It says, make it Tag Dimension Blanc and Neptune versus Zombies and Trilling God of Destruction coming to PC via Steam. This fall. No actual date, but they'll feature 1080p graphics and there'll be a special Steam bundle for them too, I think, apparently. But maybe the Mega Tech Dimension Blanc will finally have a good frame rate.
All right.
It's not bad, but it's not consistently 30.
Yeah. I just hate frame rate issues with any game. Like I don't know why.
Well, it's on the Vita, so it's kind of expected, but yeah. Still upsetting that they couldn't get it 60 because that would have been remarkable.
But isn't the Vita hardware like some of the most powerful hardware we've ever seen in a handheld? Like why can't they get it right?
It is.
Yeah,
it's also not the same as a cell phone either. So.
Well, the thing is, it's dedicated hardware and it has, you know, dedicated graphics processing hardware. So you would think, I think a lot of it comes down to just programmers not really knowing what to make of it.
Well, you know, the lead platform for Grand Kingdom, I think, is the Vita, and the PS4 version is just a port. And that game runs at 60 on the Vita. Although if you play it on the PC, PS TV, it might be a different story because it's actually a weaker version of the Vita hardware.
So I've noticed that, like, playing, like...
Some games are, like, sluggish on the Vita TV.
Yeah, I noticed that playing, like, Memories of Salsetta.
Just action games that suffer, though.
Yeah, I'm just like, is it just me, or is it kind of hitching a little bit more than it does playing it on the actual device? And, I mean, it's not catastrophic or anything, but it is something like...
But that's part of the reason why it was cheaper, too, because it is a watered-down Vita.
Yeah, I mean, really, it's like... I think, like, a PSTV is a good thing to have, especially if you hack it, just for, you know, because you can, you know, it gives you access, you know, it's very easy and cheap access if you don't want to deal with like a portable system to all the digital, like PlayStation 1 and PlayStation, you know, portable titles.
Yeah.
But you have to rehack it every time you want to play in your homebrew.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is kind of a pain in the ass. Well, not every time. It's only if you actually cut the power entirely. If you don't standby mode,
because I learned the hard way that I melted my memory card by not turning it off, but putting it in rest mode instead.
Yeah. Freak 5 is talking about.
I don't know if that was the real reason. My card might have just been bad, and apparently the 64 gigabyte memory cards have a high failure rate. So maybe just it was its time.
Why am I not?
I've had the same 32 gig in mine, and I've had it, you know, running for weeks on end in standby mode. So I don't know
why. Why am I not surprised that Freak 5 liked Suicide Squad at all? Like, why am I not surprised? Like, that... I'll talk a little bit about it. I know Breakman has not had a chance. I'm going to do, like, a spoiler-free take on it for sure later.
I'm going to wait until that comes out on video, I think.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, from what I've seen, I've heard a lot of people talking about, it's not really a movie you can spoil because there's really nothing... that happens in it.
There's a couple of things that I won't get too far into it, like, because I don't like that. I don't like telling details of movies like the week of or the week after. But once it becomes like a month or two out, like, I think that's a good time frame to, you know, either talk or not talk about it. Period. Like, you know.
Oh, on a semi-related note, one thing. You know, you guys know that, you know, you saw the new Rogue One trailer. I'm interested in that. I'm really leery of the weird, like, Japanese swordsman type guy. I'm like, it seems really out of place in the Star Wars universe.
He seems to be a Force user.
Hmm. Yeah, it's just like, you know, but it's not like, he's a Force user. It's, yeah, they're kind of presenting it like this weird, like, Eastern mysticism kind of thing. I'm like, and that's normally been the role of specifically the Jedi, and maybe it's kind of an EU sort of deal. But I don't know.
There have been other I'm just saying there have been other like people who have utilized like the Force and stuff like that.
Yeah,
like,
I mean, and I'm not dissing it or anything. I just like it rubs me kind of the wrong way, and it makes me a little bit leery. I'm still, you know, I'll still go see it, of course, and I still hope, right. It'll probably turn out to be a good movie, and you know, my fears will probably be for nothing.
But probably die, like, and then you won't have to worry about the canon being interfered with.
Right.
I'm not even worried about that. I just, like, it just seems incongruous with all that's gone before.
I think what they're trying to do is to start expanding the Force, showing, like, that it's more than just, like, the Jedi and Sith. Because it always has been, but that's not been, like, a part of the main universe. And I think they're really just trying to expand it now to show people.
Yeah, they're Freak 5 still talking about Suicide Squad in there. He says maybe he's easy to entertain. It was a decent action movie. Let's just put it that way. But Dungeon Buster hit the nail.
It's a movie that I enjoyed on that level, but I couldn't recommend it to anybody.
Yeah.
Actually, I saw some people saying that it's like that it compared extremely poorly to Batman versus Superman. I was like, ouch. Because that movie was garbage.
That movie was garbage. Although I have to give Batman versus Superman a little bit of credit here.
If I go into that movie with totally negative expectations, will I enjoy myself at least?
Yeah, you'll enjoy yourself, dude. Good.
Expect the worst thing ever, and you won't be disappointed.
Yeah, it's not the worst thing ever.
Good. Then all right, I want to see him.
Yeah, honestly, those two movies. If you come in with no real expectations, I was talking to somebody that is real in the know with comic books. He said Batman versus Superman kind of captured like three stories dead on from the comics, like almost verbatim, which Snyder's pretty faithful to his comic book adaptations for the most part. But
he is in broad strokes, but he tends to fuck up the details.
Yeah,
he certainly did with Watchmen.
He did it with Watchmen for sure. But
I like the Watchmen movie.
I like the Watchmen movie too.
But it was, I mean, like, it missed the point in a lot of ways.
Like, yeah,
like, I know. Like the violence and everything. Scenes, yeah. I agree.
Yeah.
I agree with that, but it was still...
The scene where the old Night Owl got attacked, that should have been, like, the most violent scene in the movie.
Yeah.
Because the whole point of it was just, like, that, you know, these characters, they're not really made for this.
Yeah.
Yeah,
As far as, like, the actors, like Rorschach and the comedian, like, those two, like...
Oh, yeah, I mean, there was really some really great acting in it. And apparently people don't like Malin or Malin Ackerman, and I'm like, I thought she was okay.
I thought the actors were the best part of the movie. Like, there are things that they screwed up, like the ultra-violence, like you said, but I thought they got the casting perfect.
There was a lot. The movie got more right than it got wrong, but it did get some major things wrong.
No, I couldn't agree with you guys more, and that very rarely happens on.
I don't know why anybody would want to read a script to a play for Harry Potter and the Cursed Child. I'd rather have an adaptation.
Yeah, Dungeon Buster says he liked the Watchmen movie and could live with the heavily altered ending. Yeah, they couldn't. They couldn't do the octopus.
Problem I had one major problem with that. There was a major logic flaw in that. It's like, okay, we've changed it so that it's no longer this, you know, this concocted alien, you know, basically like, you know, a massive fabrication. Yeah, I mean, the movie's 7 years old now at this point.
Right. Yeah.
But it's, you know, this instead of having this massive alien being to create this alien this alien threat that everyone should unite under. You make the threat a rogue Dr. Manhattan. Do you really think that a Cold War era Russia would not say to the U.S., this is your fault? No, we will not ally with you.
Yeah. Because and at that time, Dr.
Manhattan was like this. He was made as this American icon. That was the entire thing of how he was.
I would agree, but they attacked two or three American cities. Like, they attacked America. He attacked America more than any other countries specifically for that reason.
It's too far. It's a bridge.
I get it. I understand. I do agree with you. Like, as far as Russia is, but this is like a fake Russia. So the fake Russians would do it. But Vladimir Putin? Hell no. He'd be like, "This is our time to attack America. Let's do this."
Yeah.
What the hell, man?
Maybe Gorby, maybe, but not so much. Putin.
Not Putin, yeah.
No. Freak Five's talking about Harry Potter.
He's got gas.
Yeah.
He's Putin.
All right, let's move on to the next story. Mug, next story, please.
Yeah, all right, which story were we on? We're only on the second one.
Yeah.
Anyway, coming to us live from Silicon Era, Nipponichi Software recently announced The Princess is Money Hungry for PS Vita, a game where money rules all, so it's not fantasy at all, and can buy you all the power you need to beat the game. Amazon Japan gives us a first look. It has this picture of this very cartoonish, very Japanese, but not like a very cartoony version of anime. And it's like the above is a look at the main visual for the game, and also shows there's a stag beetle, which goes along with the beetle observation countdown site that NIS had up earlier this week. The game is an action RPG that takes place in an era where capitalism rules the world, and after the times where power is everything has come to an end. So it's like survival of the richest, I guess.
So like a fantasy setting if capitalism won everything.
Well, I think it's more the golden rule in the sense that he who has the gold makes the rules. It's set in an excessively capitalistic society. The main character is a princess who can purchase powerful enemies and we'll need to use them in order to take out the boss, a corrupt moneylender. Okay,
this almost sounds like Rosie Rubinland from the Tingle RPG.
No, I don't know. The premise sounds kind of amusing. So everything about the game is connected to money in one way or another. You'll get to purchase enemies to take out other enemies. The princess can also spend money to perform powerful special attacks. If that weren't enough, they say that you can even purchase the last boss of the game.
Oh, my God. Jesus Christ. Really?
I like the art style. It's like, what's weird is like it has that, you know, the PlayStation Vita res, which is like slightly above 720p.
Yeah.
But then like it has the zoomed in sprites for that, you know, for like the heavy pixel art sort of look.
Yeah.
And so it's a weird kind of a combination of aesthetics, but I like the art style. It's this bizarre cartoonish sort of thing.
It visually kind of catches you right away, right?
Yeah.
Mug, like it's one of those.
Wait, maybe this game's a big commentary on the pay to win.
Maybe it is.
That would be funny.
That would be fun.
I have to say this. I'm intrigued by this. I actually may look into this.
Talk about ultimate irony. If that's the statement they were making with this game, that would be fantastic, man. I wouldn't mind that at all. All right, next story, Breakman.
What? Huh? Who? Oh, I'm sorry. I was reading the chat. Coming to us live from US Gamer. Oh, God. This is some sad news. Chrono Trigger and Final Fantasy graphic designer Manabu Daishima passes away.
Okay, how did you get that one right? And
Daishima.
I know.
Daishima.
Well, actually, he did pretty well for the last name. But where did you get the O from in the first name?
Manabu.
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 Manabu. Okay. I was really trying hard not to butcher his name.
I know, but this is all just kind of part of. Now, what's funny is that when I was looking at the show notes, the way that Eric wrote this down, like he wrote a little header for it, it's like the passing of Manabu Daishima, and I thought it was the name of the game. It wasn't until I looked at the story, I was like, oh, okay, this is actually a sad announcement sort of deal.
Well, he passed away on July 30th at the age of 45.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Considering how long ago this game was made, that would make him like 19.
Yeah,
like 45. That is so young. Like, that's terrible.
They're still investigating. Yeah,
he was a longtime employee of Squinix back when the company was merely SquareSoft. Wow, when they were still called SquareSoft. His first game was Final Fantasy IV in 1991. He was a visual designer and only worked on background artwork. He did the field art for Chrono Trigger, 3D map design for Dirge of Cerberus, Final Fantasy VII, and Final Fantasy XII, monster designs for Romancing Saga, world graphic design for Secret of Mana, background graphic designer for Saga Frontier, and his final project was Parasite Eve, the Third Birthday.
Yeah.
If you scroll up to the top, read the part in bold, it actually goes into a little detail about what happened.
According to a story in Japanese news site, veteran graphic designer Manabu Daishima passed away on July 30th. Daishima was driving offshore Ito, Shizuoka. Perfection. Prefecture with two other people. He lost consciousness while driving and was found 30 meters offshore. Holy shit. His fellow divers. I'm sorry. Did I say driver?
He said driving. He
lost consciousness while diving and was found 30 meters offshore. His fellow divers.
I don't say exactly what caused the loss of consciousness here.
Yeah. Pulled away from him and water got him to a hospital, His fellow divers pulled him away from the water and got him to a hospital, but he later died. He was only 45.
Yeah, that's sad.
But was he diabetic?
That's a possibility. Could've been. I don't know, man. That's a great question to ask, Break, because diabetics have a hard time with pressure.
That's immediately what comes to mind. Like, that's terrible. Yeah. That's sad news.
Yeah.
At least he died doing something he enjoyed, I guess.
Yeah.
He must go diving regularly.
Yeah. Well, he obviously had enough money to do that. So that's cool, man. I don't know, man. That just sounds kind of weird. Like, I'm thinking more along lines of what Breakman says. He might have been a diabetic or had some sort of, like, neurological disorder because you don't – like, diving, like, you don't just – I mean, unless you dive too far, maybe that's what happened.
Well, that's the thing is that you're putting the human bodies in an environment that it's entirely not made to be in.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's all kinds of things that can go wrong.
Yeah, I mean, my first feeling was maybe diabetes. He's diabetic, but yeah, I'm no doctor.
Yeah.
Not even close.
Freak 5 says,
but I have looked at WebMD a lot.
I'm not a hypochondriac either.
could have been like a blood clot or something. I don't know, man. Freak 5 says good, Good thing, yeah, an aneurysm, exactly. Good thing I'm not playing the RP Grinders drinking game. I'd be passed out just from break reading this article.
We have drinking game rules? I was not aware of this. I need to get these rules established.
Oh, okay. Freak is he's listing some of them off. Said every time you mispronounce a word, every time Break mispronounces a word, take a drink. Every time Frank exiles someone, take a drink. Every time Frank hangs up on Mug, take a drink. Take two of it was because Mug was playing his harmonica.
Oh my God, Jesus Christ! I'm not gonna make you guys drink this time.
I had it ready just in case I needed it.
Oh God, Mug, you are something
you're
else.
You're like Batman. You have like a harmonica utility belt, don't you?
Oh my God, I know,
like, I'm not the player you want. But I'm the player you need right now.
I'm gonna cleanse my palate with this next story from Destructoid. Dragon Quest X reconfirmed for Nintendo NX. Still no word on
boring.
Get out of here, Mug, you son of a bitch. Still no word on the localized version. Square Enix's on again, off again relationship with Nintendo consoles appears to be on again, according to recent Weekly Famitsu article. Dragon Quest X's producers confirmed that a version for Nintendo's upcoming console, codenamed the NX, is currently in development.
Honestly should start talking about now.
You know what they're going to end up calling that son of a bitchin' system? The Wii 3. That's what they're going to call it, the Wii 3.
Better not. Otherwise, it's like they're really going to screw themselves over.
Oh, my God. Awful.
At this point, they need to divorce themselves from the Wii.
No, they need to – yeah, you're right. They need to delete Wii from their memories.
No,
we have no memory of this Wii thing. Whatever you guys – Wii what? What are you guys talking about?
Any bets? I bet you it's like Wii 3 or something stupid like that. Like that, they're not going to – Yeah, exactly. It's going to be something we watch. Yeah.
Like the one Christmas Carol song that I like.
So they basically confirmed that it's going to be on the NX.
Maybe they'll call the Nintendo 4U because it's finally the console you've been waiting for.
That sucks. Ouch. That would be awful. It's had Wii U, 3DS ports, but nothing ever left Japan, which sucks because I really wanted to play that game. Whatever. So that's about it on that. Any thoughts on Dragon Quest X other than Mug hates it and will never?
I don't hate it, dude. I only give you a hard time because it's fun to give you a hard time. I don't actually have anything against the Dragon Quest series. They're just not for me.
Dragon Quest X, like, it looks visually like the other games, but I've heard that it has several problems. So I'm objective about it. I mean, I know I like Dragon Quest VIII probably way more than the next person, but I don't know. I like 9. 10 looked interesting to me.
I heard a lot of people had problems with the – just. I guess it was like this weird multiplayer focus in 9, wasn't it?
Yeah.
You didn't have to play multiplayer.
I liked 9 so much. Like, 9's probably
my favorite. The only problem with that is that I think it was originally designed to be a multiplayer game, but – then they made it more like a traditional Dragon Quest, but the holdovers were still there, which meant that you didn't have a character party with backstories and everything. You made all your characters. So the story kind of suffered a bit for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Take a drink when I mentioned that I don't like Cops, Trains, or Kickstarter. Everybody would be drunk in like 2 seconds.
Or anytime you talk about weed.
Yeah.
We make a game about how cops arrest trains and then put a Kickstarter up for it?
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Did you guys hear about this new thing?
The RP Grinder card game, Cops versus Trains.
Oh, my God. You guys know how to make me pissed off, that's for sure.
Wait, guys.
We'll raise money for it on Kickstarter.
Oh, my God. I hate you guys so much. Dungeon Buster says, we give you every Wii one. So there you go. Every one? Like every
one. Every Wii one. I see. Yeah. Every Wii one.
Yeah. Very clever, Dungeon Buster. Very clever.
As if Wii U wasn't confusing enough.
Exactly. Like, I remember when they announced that and everybody was like, oh, you got to be kidding me, Nintendo. Like, they seriously do not think about their names when they come out with new systems.
It'll be funny if NX ends up being the acronym for it after all.
Yeah, it won't. It'll be something Wii-related, guaranteed. Watch.
It's the Neo Xenophobia.
Yeah, exactly. the Neo Xenophobia. That'd be an awesome title. The Neon X-Ray. How about that? There you go.
Take a drink when Frank says he hates someone. Chug if it's everyone. I hate you guys.
I hate everyone.
God, everyone would be dead of alcohol poisoning. We would kill our entire...
We don't recommend that because everybody would be dead because I do hate everybody. Let's move on. Eric, next story, please.
Next story is from Gamatsu. Phoenix Wright Ace Attorney Son of Spirit of Justice will launch for the 3DS on Nintendo eShop in North America and Europe on September 8th for £29.99, £24.99 and €29.99. And a free demo will be available to download on August 25th. Features a section from the first courtroom scenario in the game and allows players to take on the role of Phoenix Wright and the King of Kurine and try out the newest gameplay feature, the Divination Seance.
Oh, there you go. Getting a little supernatural. There you go.
The series has already had supernatural things, now the entire story is centered around it.
Take a shot if Mug is gone because he's at an orgy.
Yeah.
Tap a keg if Frank is gone.
I think that should be like you take three shots over the course of the episode if I'm gone because of an orgy, because that means, you know, like, it basically has to make up for all the harmonica playing that I can't do.
Dungeon Buster says coming out in the holidays for the Xbox One, the PS4, and the Neo Xenophobia. There you go. I think you're onto something, Mug. People are digging that. Neo Xenophobia. There you go. For the NX. All right, let's move on to the next story. Let's go with Breakman next.
Huh, what? I got to read something?
Yes, next story, please.
Wow, I didn't have it loaded. I wasn't paying attention. I was chatting with people and stuff.
That's right, the Pokemon story.
Is it the Pokemon story? Yeah,
Pokemon.
Yes.
All right, let's see here. Pokemon story coming to us live from Destructoid. Fan-made why am I reading the title? Shouldn't I have learned my lesson by now?
Yes. This is Destructoid.
Yeah.
Okay, I mean, I don't know. Fan-made Pokemon Uranium something froze. Why are you free? Oh, I scrolled. My bad. That was me. Fan-made Pokemon Uranium finally releases after 9 years. It took you 9 years. Wow.
It's a ROM hack that took 9 years. So
it's not a ROM hack. It's a native PC game.
Oh, really? Well, okay.
Yeah.
While the world waits for Sun and Moon, there's some new Pokemon content to sate your appetite. Yeah. Note that it's not for your 3DS. It's not even sanctioned by Nintendo, so it's going to get banned soon. But it's a new Pokemon.
And another game played over the weekend that we'll talk about later.
After 9 years of development, Pokemon Uranium fan project has.
I better download this quickly.
They've already. I downloaded it just to have it. So if you need it, I can get it to you.
Okay.
Yeah. Download this quick because Nintendo is going to say hell to the no.
Looking at the comments,
probably a torrent somewhere by now anyway. So
yeah, and looking at the comments, the links are already removed. So there's a.
Mm-hmm. This is a full game that includes 150 new Pokemon with a new nuclear map and the ability to talk to your Pokemon
Map. How'd you get map?
The ability to talk, to your Pokemon in online trading and battling. It's also said I don't know where the hell I got map from. It's also said to have an unusual dark storyline that tackles the topic of nuclear energies and their efforts to the environment and their effects on the environment and humanity.
Efforts to the environment.
The alternate version should be named Pokemon Plutonium.
Yeah.
That'll be the sequel.
Plutonium. Or maybe Strontium 90. It'll come Mercury. Out in 28 years.
Pokemon Mercury.
It has to be a radioactive element.
Anyone keen on trying uranium won't have much luck getting to the game's website. According to this tweet, overwhelming traffic is too much for the servers to handle right now. Fortunately, the game can be downloaded directly for the link that I'm going to send to our chatters.
Is down. So
for the rest of you, good luck because, probably if you didn't get this game already, you might not be able to get it. Shit. I didn't copy.
Yeah.
No, I've got it.
Yep. Okay. Let's move on to the next story, guys. Sorry, I just remembered another Stinko that I have to add to the Stinkos later on.
Well, Australia?
No. Well, Australia I've already talked about. That's like an all-timer. Mug, next story.
All right, coming to us live from Destructoid. It turns out that there will be no weaponized lesbians for anyone in Australia. You'll understand. Okay. It's hard being a Vita owner in Australia. Not only has the console been all but abandoned by Sony, but for the second time this year, a new release for the oft-neglected handheld has been banned. Valkyrie Drive Bikini, the new brawler by Sendan Kagura creator Kenichiro Takagi, that features weaponized lesbians. That's the one that we covered before, where, like, you know, these lesbians will make out, one of them gets turned on and turns into a weapon.
Yeah.
The other one fights using that weapon.
Yep.
Had to stop and pre-order. Right, I got it.
Has been refused classification by the Australian Classification Board. This is to say that the game has been banned, as a title that has been refused classification cannot be sold, hired, advertised, or legally imported in Australia. And for those of you who don't know, hired is what they call renting in the non-American English-speaking world.
Yeah, you can't even rent this game.
I did not know that.
And as mentioned previously, this is the second PlayStation Vita game to be banned in Australia this year, with the Idea Factory published dungeon crawler Make You, Labyrinth of Death, being the first. The reason stated for the Australian government's banning of the Valkyrie Drive was that the game depicts sex or sexuality in a way that may, quote, offend against the standards of morality, decency, and propriety generally accepted by reasonable adults to the extent that it should not be classified. And
so, define reasonable adults.
Let me ask you guys this. Let me ask you this question about Australia. Is Australia...
Shut up. I mean, I'm sorry, what?
Made by ultra-grandpa Christians? Yes, they were.
No. Let me ask you this question. Is Australia a very evangelical country? Like, super conservative?
No, it's not, but it has a lot... There's a lot of old laws and stuff, as far as I understand it, a lot of old laws that kind of carry over and have been holdovers due to tradition from the fact that it was founded as a penal colony.
Yeah, see, no.
Like there was a lot of moral strictures placed on the
and apparently the politicians of the country are too lazy to change these laws.
Yeah. Well, maybe they're not too lazy.
And Australia's weird. It's like for one thing, that's like all the actual population is concentrated on the coast because there's jack shit in the middle.
Right. I understand that.
There's basically desert and death.
Right.
In the middle of Australia, but there's incredibly xenophobic and racist, culture there. It's like, obviously, I'm not talking about every single person, but there's I hear stories and stuff from people who've lived there
for long periods
of time.
That's a lot of countries.
Think about the way that Australians are typically known for being brash and very upfront about their opinions. They're not shy about their xenophobia and racism.
But here's my question:
refugees from other countries arriving in like small boats, in canoes, essentially, and they're like, send them away. Do not let them, make landfall.
That's really
as soon as the boat gets close to land, there's a guy like standing there to push it back in the water. Like, nope, not here, buddy.
You're not a million miles off.
Yeah.
Wow.
I remember Wipix getting into it with a person from Australia that lives here in the United States that's a Trump supporter. And Wipix was making the observation, like, I don't understand this woman. She's an immigrant into this country, and yet she's so fucking anti-immigrant. It makes zero sense. Like, it makes no sense to be anti-immigrant and you're an immigrant yourself. That's the ultimate hypocrisy. Like, that's what Wipix was trying to point
out. She's not even thinking.
No, that's what Wipix was trying to point out to her. Do you understand the audacity of what you're saying? Like you don't even know what you're saying. Like, you're
average citizen think? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, exactly, man. No, I guess I should just chalk it up to that, man. So that's really sad to hear about Australia. I mean, I know there's good people there.
Anyways, this game is coming out September 16th, so I should try to get in contact with PQ Games, but every time I've tried, I've been stonewalled. I've never got a reply from them.
Yeah, that sucks. Yeah, all you got to do is keep trying, man. Maybe you'll get a response at some point.
Yeah. I mean, basically, if they're stonewalling you, you can't do any harm by pestering them.
Emailing them. I think I'm just getting lost in the shuffle of all the other emails you're getting.
Probably, man.
Yeah, I mean, very well could be.
Yeah, you could be.
You need to, like, find, like, employees and see if you can find their email addresses and get to like a manager of some sort.
Freak 5 just sent a story about a raccoon climbing 700-foot
fall. I'm going to have to buy a Galgun because I can't contact these guys.
Yeah. Raccoon climbed 700-foot tall Toronto crane poops at the top. So there you go. Shit on the
You didn't read the rest of the story.
The only place to buy Galgun is Amazon or PlayAsia or from them directly.
Yeah.
Which I don't want to buy from them directly because they're a UK-based website.
Yeah.
And that'd be meaning I'd be getting a UK version and I'd have to pay more.
So it just – I didn't read – I did not read.
So is there – I've seen like little bits and pieces of Galgun. It's like, is it really as doofy as it looks?
Yeah, it's a pretty lewd game, but it's still a decent rail shooter.
Yeah.
All right.
So it is a rail – so it's just a rail shooter.
Who've been infected with this pheromone, and now you're like the hottest guy ever, and you have to fend them off with your arrows.
Yeah, and now see, the funny thing is –
all of this sounds like my dreams. Almost, until you start shooting them off with arrows.
Yeah.
Other than that, it sounds they do is they make them have euphoria, and then they pass out.
Yeah. You hit them, they make these orgasmic noises – and people are like, oh, this is, you know, this is inappropriate, whatever. But what's funny is, like, you put this in anime form, and that people would eat it right the fuck up.
Yeah.
It's only because it's a game that people are bent out of shape about it.
There's a lot of things people get bent out of shape with games for sure. All right, Eric, last story of the day, man. I saw this
last
trailer.
Story is a big NIS sale.
No. You forgot that.
There's one more?
Yeah, you forgot
that. Yeah, missed one.
Oh, yeah, Little Nightmares.
Yeah.
I thought I pulled this up. I don't know. This is from Silicon Era, but Bandai Namco reveals Little Nightmares, a game that will have you face childhood fears. Recently teased Little Nightmares earlier this week, and they revealed the game is in development by Tarsier Studios, along with the Look at Reveal trailer. I think that's how you pronounce that. Anyways, it says basically face childhood fears as you help a little girl in yellow raincoat escape from the Maw, a mysterious vessel inhabited by corrupt souls as part of its dark yet whimsical tale.
Yeah.
I saw the trailer of it. It looks interesting enough.
I'm just responding to
would know a little bit more, though.
It sounds very indie. It has that, you know, that young person in frightening circumstances, like that young person alone in frightening circumstances.
Yeah, I don't think you're too far off, Mug. I was thinking that I saw the trailer for this, and I'm really, really interested in this. This is another game that I can, like, put in
this game almost sounds a little bit like Yomiwari, though, so I wonder if they got the idea from that game and decided to do their own take on it.
I could see that possibility for sure, Eric. I looked at this trailer and I was like, this looks really interesting. I would put this on my list of games to play on the PS4
This is a PC right now.
Is it?
I mean, it hasn't revealed any of its platforms, but it sounds very PC.
Yeah. Well, even
doesn't
if it
mean
is
it
PC.
It won't be on PS4.
Right.
I was going to say, Bandai Namco tends to focus on consoles more than anything else.
Right.
So I'd be surprised if it didn't see a console release.
I would be. That's exactly right. That's why I mentioned it. Like this would be something else to compel
There'll
me.
Be more information when Gamescom lands, which is about like a week or so from now.
Yeah. But this was if it
actually,
were.
You know what? Aesthetically, you know what it really reminds me of?
What's that?
That animated movie 9.
Yeah, I could see that for sure.
It's like very heavily green tinted, like just dark and kind of moody, but still kind of whimsical sort of look and feel to it.
Yeah, I get it. I know exactly what you're talking about, Mug. I could definitely see
that. I think that was done by the same guy, was it Timur Bekmambetov, who did Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter?
Yeah, it's looking real.
It looks nice.
Real nice, yeah. It's very polished as far as, graphics go. There's no question about that. And the premise looks pretty interesting. So I definitely would put this down as a game that I would definitely – would compel me to get a PS4. I'm not saying it'd be good or bad, but visually looks pretty interesting. And
it was originally revealed as with a different title. It was called Hunger. So Little Nightmares is the new title.
Yeah. No, it looks good. I'm down. I'm down for this. And that, my friends, is the end of the news. So we have some discount. Yeah, exactly.
Let me discount from NIS America games on Steam.
With sans harmonica. That was awesome. Homie discounts. Eric, homie discounts.
This is this is an NIS sale. And it says, does Gaia PC Stranger of Swords Eating Clan of Champions, which is a game I've never heard of before. Maybe, let's see. Is this an NSA game? Because I've never heard of this. It must be, but it's a game apparently they published and they didn't make. So weird. But let's see. This is on the console side. Oh, so there's console deals too on this list, because why not throw stuff in for the hell of it? But it's mostly NIS here. But here's some of the highlights. Are Stranger of Swords Cities you can get for $30. You can get Disgaea PC Digital Dude Edition for $16.86, or you can get just the game by itself for $15. So you might as well pay a little bit more for the extra digital stuff. But Hotel Neat
Digital Dude Edition.
Yeah, because dude is a thing in that game. The printies say doodle.
Yeah, they say dude. D-O-O-D. That's where I always got my dude. When I text you guys, yeah.
Anyways, Hotel Neek is $12. Clan and Champions is $10, which is normally $40, so that's a tremendous discount. Cladoon X2 is $8. No Man's Sky you can get for $47.99. PS4 Black Ops 3, but what?
No Man's Sky. Like, now I'm seeing stuff about it and realizing, oh, okay, it's a survival game in a sci-fi setting. It's like, that looks boring as shit.
Yeah, the game the game never appealed me from the beginning. And since they were so reticent to even talk about it, I kind of got the feeling that, yeah, it's basically a sandbox game of sandbox games.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
I could get into the exploration thing, but I hate the survival thing.
Yeah, like the craft, I agree. You know, I totally agree.
You know, getting resources and all that kind of shit.
Yeah, why can't we
get a PS4 Black Ops 3 bundle plus No Man's Sky and Uncharted 4 for $400?
I think that's a good deal.
Do you really have to stop and take a shit at some point? Because that'd be way more realistic.
Or you can just get the console that's a 500 gigabyte edition. For $279.99.
That's also a great deal. Like, I don't know. I'd be inclined to get those three games.
I'd go for the little bit more expensive bundle with the games, because then you could sell the games and you probably have a gigabyte hard drive.
Yeah, yeah.
Or a terabyte or whatever.
Bigger hard drive is. That's a good point, man. And there's a bunch of other PC
young kids were listening, like, a gigabyte? Like, that's so tiny.
Yeah, I know. No, gigabyte, yeah, what is that?
Them at Tera.
I could really go for a terabyte in both my PS3 and PS4 at this point.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mug, do you remember?
Can a PS3 even take a terabyte?
Yeah, I have a terabyte in my one.
Yeah.
Xbox One.
You remember the days when, like, megabytes was a big thing, right? Or even, like, high K.
Shit, man. I remember I had an iOmega zip drive, and I was, like, so stoked when I had a jazz drive.
Oh, my God, I had a zip drive,
1 gigabyte each.
Yep.
Like, that was, like, the biggest deal.
Yep.
Look, I was selling...
And iOmega products were shit.
Yeah, exactly.
What if the NX takes cartridges, like people have been speculating, and they use, like, super high-quality or high-capacity zip disk or something?
I don't know how that's going to work, man. Like, I thought about it, like, honestly, like, the way they explained it to me, like, what is it, 32 gigs is the max that they can put on, which sounds like a lot, but with the games nowadays, like, what are they putting on, like, 64?
Most games don't even reach 60.
I know, yeah.
Well, no, the thing is that Blu-ray, a dual-layer Blu-ray disc is a maximum capacity of 50 gigabytes.
50, okay, so we're not too far off, but still, like, I don't know, like...
The thing is, it depends on the media they're using. I mean, if they were using, like, ROM chips, that would be prohibitively expensive nowadays. If they may be using something more along the lines of, like, compact flash or something like that.
Ah, I can see that. Dungeon Buster says survival elements in No Man's Sky are really lightweight. If anybody I trust to give us an insight on a game like that, be Dungeon Buster. So maybe it's something worth checking.
That's something. I mean, maybe I'll try it out further down the line, because it's like the idea of just kind of a relaxing game, you know, where I just kind of want to, you know, zen out. I don't know if you guys have heard the soundtrack. I've mm-hmm. never heard of 65 Days of Static before, but apparently they're a thing. And they do this weird kind of electronic soundscape you distorted guitar with electronic stuff over it. And it's just like, wow, this is actually really nice. Mm-hmm. You know, it's definitely not for everyone, but if you're looking for something, you know, just kind of soothing chill out to.
Yeah, did you ever play Flower? Flower was that way for me up until the last mission.
I know the guy. I'm friends with the guy who composed the music.
Yeah, that's all. We should get that guy on, man.
I can ask him. Yeah, he's a really nice guy. I've known him since like the early 90s. We met on, you know, like the old Neo Geo mailing list.
Yeah, man. That's awesome, man. We should get that guy on here. I'd be super excited.
He was like the sound director for Skullgirls, and he does a bunch of other stuff now, I think.
I haven't even gotten to the PC or console deals.
Just run over quickly what we got there, man.
Here's a really good deal. Dark Souls 3 on Steam you can get for $36.99. And there's also a Mortal Kombat Brutality Bundle, which this has to be a typo because it's normally $414.85. And it says here $16.99. So I don't know if that's just true a game. Or not.
Is it just a game?
$400?
That probably includes DLC.
Oh my god. Yeah. Like even but with DLC, that's still like the most outrageous price I've ever heard for a video game.
$400.
No, I've seen far worse. There's actually Dead or Alive 5 last round with all available DLC will run you about $700.
What's wrong with this world? What is wrong? This is why.
Also, because you can pre-order
all costume DLC.
You can pre-order Mankind Divided on Steam for $40. What's wrong with people? Probably through Green Man Gaming.
Yeah, that's crazy, man.
But you can get Bloodborne for $12.89.
That is very, very good.
That's good a price. great deal.
And you can get a PS Plus 12 month for under $40.
That's $38.99. Yeah, because I mean that's $12 off the.
And this rate. One's for a console version of Deus Ex Mankind Divided with a $25 e-gift card.
Oh, I like this one. Bucks. They have a Nyko modular PS4 controller, charger, and
those Nyko things.
Intercooler for $29.99 with 100% off. So you pay zero. So make sure you get on that. That's got to be.
I have a Nyko charging stand. That's one of those ones that you slide it into the USB ports on the front of the PS4, and it's this thing that sits.
So they're
across
giving
the,
them
the
away.
Top of
that's because they suck. Don't get it
for free.
Well, the thing that I've got it has these little dongle things that plug into the controllers themselves, and you just set them. Shut up. You just set them on top of this little rack thing there, and they're magnetized so that kind of locks them into place. And it's worked really well for me, just as a place. Like my controllers are always where, you know, I always know where they are, and they stay charged. So
other good deals would be Mad Max on Steam for $12 and Metro Redo bundle for $6.
Yeah. Well, no thanks. I just looked at this and it really is $0.
Xbox wireless controller for $45. It's normally $60, which is expensive for controller.
Yeah.
Well, for that modern really controllers, needs to be
price reduced.
It's really not that expensive for.
Oh, I see the catch here. It's a $25 mail-in.
I know it's not expensive for controller, but controllers also probably shouldn't be $60 anyway. Yeah.
So there you go. That's the catch there. $25 mail-in rebate, but still.
Oh, okay.
$0.
Still, you can get money back at least.
Yeah, that's cool. That's really cool. All right, that's the highlights of all the sales. Any Twitter questions, Breakman?
Actually, no. We haven't got any. Apparently, we were having a problem getting this loaded on Stitcher or something, though.
What? Why?
Yeah, with the episode, apparently.
last week's episode. Flabby was having trouble getting to it. Thanks for Twittering us or tweeting us, Flabby Sausage.
Yeah,
thanks for Twittering us.
I'll have to check that out because
Twittering.
Yeah.
You want to Twitter me, Frank?
Exactly. Whatever Breakman said. I'll definitely check that out, Flabby Sausage. Thanks for pointing that out. It should be smooth. I don't know why it didn't show up on there, but I'll try to work on that. I have no idea what's going on. So, thank you for alerting us to that problem. Mm-hmm. So, all right. And nothing else then, Break?
Nope, not that I see.
All right. Let's move on to what you've been playing. Let's start with Mug.
The only thing I've played this week is AM2R, which is the remake, the fan-made remake of Metroid 2. AM2R stands for Another Metroid 2 Remake. It's been in the works for about 6 or 8 or 9 years or something like that.
Yeah.
And it finally came out on Saturday, and it's pretty goddamn spectacular.
Yeah,
and,
is it?
It's a little hard to find right now due to a DMCA takedown, but if you don't have it, if you like Metroid at all, you really should play it, because in my opinion, it is, you know, it's completely supplanted the Metroid 2 in my head as this is the official game.
Wow, that's awesome.
The only thing I don't like
is its stupid hopper part of the game. It's like, why did they do that?
Just to change things up, but I mean, it's like it takes about 2 minutes to do. I mean, it's really, and once I figured out, I was like, okay, this is what I need to do.
Yeah,
like that. You really only have to do one small bit of it, and then it's like then you just move on.
I also kind of wish that the fast travel section was introduced a little earlier.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the thing is, the game Metroid 2 is more linear than a lot of other Metroid games. Like, not
they just made it more difficult to get the game beaten under 2 hours because those old requirements for the endings are still there.
Yeah, but
they should have at least increased it to 3 hours. I could have probably reasonably gotten 100% and done the best ending. No, I got the worst ending.
Yeah, well, so did I. I mean, I played through it for about 6.5 hours.
5 hours.
Yeah, I mean, I played about my playthrough was about 6.5 hours. But I mean, basically, it's like it takes everything. I mean, the most recent, officially released 2D Metroid game was Zero Mission, and it plays very much in that same vein. And what's funny is that with this and Zero Mission and Metroid Fusion, all of these games together, they make Super Metroid feel really slow and floaty by comparison.
Yeah,
just because they're much faster paced games, and like the physics are less twitchy, but it's really good. And I always thought Metroid 2 got short shrift. People tended to overlook it because a lot of people just didn't play it since it was on the Game Boy, and it had its rough edges.
It's also extremely linear because it's basically an extermination game.
Yeah. But it was, really good, and there was a lot of love for it. And what's interesting is if you play through Metroid 2 just on its own, you'll completely miss some of the story elements that are there, because like back in the old days, like a lot of story elements were only ever told to you in the manual. Mm-hmm. So there's and the way that they do it, they interweave some of that stuff. It's like, okay, in the manual it tells you about there was these three separate teams of people that were that went to this planet, and and contact was lost with them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now they're like in entries that are like Metroid Primes.
Yeah, but no, it's like you can actually find what happened to these teams, and there's a whole other set of new areas and stuff that the game's been massively expanded upon, and it's just it is a Metroid game in every sense of the word. Except for not being officially made by Nintendo.
Yeah. By the way, guys, I just checked out Stitcher while you guys were talking, and episode 401's on there, Flabby Sausage. So maybe it just took a day or two to get up on the Stitcher feed, but it's there. So that little formality's out of the way. Anything else you've been playing, Mug?
No, actually, for the hell of it, I went back and I started to dick around with with Fusion and Zero Mission, but yeah. But that's it.
Cool. Let's go with Breakband next.
I've mostly played Halo 5 and Plants vs. Zombies Garden Warfare this week. Right. Mostly multiplayer this week. A lot of multiplayer.
That's good.
It's been fun. I've been having fun.
Yeah. It's okay every once in a while to get online, I guess. I'm just not the biggest online gamer.
Well, if you got online with me, Frank, it'd be different.
Yeah, I know, man. I just
that didn't sound rapey at all.
I know. Welcome to my bordello, Frank. Come on in. No, nobody will hurt you.
Yeah. Welcome to Frank's hellhole.
Yeah, exactly.
Once Frank's done with it, that's exactly what it'll be.
All right, let's move on to Eric. You got a ton of shit you've been playing, man.
Yeah, I spent last weekend basically just getting through all the small stuff, and now I'm ready to write a battery of reviews. But I played a little bit of Daydreamer Awakened Edition. That review's up on Total EGN. Played a little bit more Grand Kingdom, and I'm enjoying the game, but it's also a game that's... It has a campaign, but it's also has an online element, and the game's probably leaning more heavily on there. But it kind of expects you to play the scenario first so that you can get strong enough to play with the other players.
Yeah.
But I also played a little bit of Romance of the Three Kingdoms 13. I'm enjoying a lot more than I did Dynasty Warriors Empires.
Yeah.
Or Dynasty Warriors 8 Empires and Samurai Warriors Empire 4 Empires, because they try to take the Dynasty Warriors hack and slash gameplay and marry it to the simulation, and it just doesn't work, because and neither of those two sides of the game work that well on their own either. Mm. But this is like a straight up simulation. And this is what those games should have been. And they should just not have done the Empires at all and just kept doing the Romance of the Three Kingdoms and Nobunaga's Ambition series instead, which they are doing.
Yeah. So what else? I'll be
probably playing Nobunaga's Ambition Sphere of Influence Ascension. I think that's what the expansion is called.
Mm. All right, my man. What else you been playing?
Assault Suits Llanos. The review of that's also on Total EGN. I played a little bit of Slain Back from Hell, which apparently it was renamed because version 2.0 was released, and I guess it's almost a completely different game now.
Yeah, I played the original and it was fucking awful. And like there was like literally no feedback for when you hit enemies, and it was just like oppressively hard.
The game, and it was like the hitbox for hitting enemies seems to be completely non-existent, and it's like the crapshoot whether or not they even get hit.
Yeah.
So yeah,
but I mean, it's like there was no feedback. Better, like, your sword would just pass through the enemy sprites, and there was no feedback of any kind. You know, no pushback, no pause, no nothing. It was just
in
like,
other words, Back from Hell is an actually playable version of the game.
Yeah.
It's not bad, but it's also very simplistic. It's very hard, but you basically go to and from a level, and even though there are enemies there, it's probably better to just plow through them unless you're going for the no damage achievement, which is like the Mega Man 9 achievement. Don't do that. But
that's one of those achievements I will never, ever get.
I kind
of
wish there was an incentive.
Isn't there one where go through the entire game without getting hit?
Experience or like drop money that you can use to buy power-ups, but no, they're just there to be an obstacle.
The entire game without getting hit. Jesus Christ, who the fuck does that? You know, like that's...
I'm sure there are people who have done it. And we'll see what's funny
there
is
there are
that.
People that do that, and they're like, why the fuck can't you do that?
Yeah. In a game like, I mean, if for Mega Man 9, if there's a trophy that involves playing that entire damn game, I can't play Mega Man 9 because it's too goddamn hard for me.
Yeah, yeah.
But like, if there's a trophy to get through the entire game without being hit, you should get a platinum for getting all the trophies in that game. I don't care if it's a
platinum. Somebody should come to your house and suck your dick for getting that.
You're a god among men, and then they just give you all the other trophies. What's the point of making you work for these other trophies at this point?
Yeah, I know.
There are certain...
like, and hell, here, have a few platinums from some of our other titles while we're at it.
See, I thought I was doing good when I was younger, and I would go to the arcades and I would beat Ghosts and Goblins with like a dollar. Like I thought that was like.
That's nothing to sneeze at, man.
Red Demon, like at the middle of the level, like, yeah, I beat him. and then
yeah, and then you have to go all the way back to the beginning. I did not.
I'd like to see human ghosts and goblins at all. To an LP of a Ghost and Goblin game now, and just see how quickly he dies.
I talked to people about this before. Like when I was younger, like I could really play those games. I don't know what it was. Like, you know, there's certain games when you're younger that you're really good at, like super
Frank,
good.
For me, it was the Ghouls and Ghosts.
For me, it was the first two Ninja Gaiden games.
Yeah, see?
I could actually get at one point. I could get to the original Ninja Gaiden game on a single life.
Yeah, see that
which,
there you go.
Which like, is. Yeah, and like they, I could never do it now.
I was happy that I beat that game.
I'm still not done with my list.
I understand, Erica. We'll get back to your list. But real quickly, like nobody really ever believes me when I tell them. Like I used to beat that game regularly with a dollar or less. I think I beat it a couple of times on one or two quarters.
I have no problem believing it. I see people who – I mean I've seen people who beat like the metal – the one coin clear stuff on – a lot of like Neo Geo stuff, like the Metal Slug games. And those games are fucking hard.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
like Metal Slug 3, a one coin clear on Metal Slug 3 is really fucking difficult.
Yeah, yeah. Like now, like
I watch a video of that being done.
I've seen.
I do like those games though.
I've seen. I played like other versions of Ghosts and Goblins, like on I don't know Super Nintendo or whatever. And like even Virtual Console, and I cannot do shit on that game anymore. Like it's definitely like a hard ass.
Like all the reflexes
game.
Are gone.
Oh, dude, I'm telling you, the reflexes are definitely gone. That's why RPGs are the way to go for me.
It's all the weed, man.
Yeah, right. You know what's funny? I only smoke at night. Like really. Like today I took an edible
like,
early.
In I only day. Smoke half my life.
Yeah, only at night.
Only smoke at night.
Only half the day.
Yeah. God damn it! It's noon here. You know what? It's midnight somewhere else.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's do this.
That's really weird. Yeah. Like I don't. You think I'm a big stoner, but I very rarely, if ever, smoke during the day. Like
No, I believe you because everybody thinks I'm an alcoholic, but I really don't drink
well,
that much.
Let's put it this way. Yo, Frank does wake and bake, but he doesn't wake up until about 6 p.m.
You son of a bitch. That's not true. All right, let's move on. Eric, you got some more games.
Yeah, I also played a little bit of Lovely Planet Arcade, which is basically just a shooting gallery version of Lovely Planet because you don't even jump anymore. Mm. It's Lovely. Not bad, but it's definitely fun. It's just... It's not the same games. Don't go expecting the same game.
Yeah. All right, what else, man?
Kindred Spirits on the Roof. That's a visual novel, the Yuri visual novel. Blaze Blue, Chrono Phantasma Extended. I went through the tutorial just to learn how the game works. Then I played arcade mode with Ragna just to get a feel for the game. I'm probably not going to test online because if it's like Arc System Works other games that are online on Steam, the netcode's the same, so it probably will satisfy. Yeah. It's almost the exact same setup, like the lobbies and everything.
Yeah. All right. Anything
but,
else?
I also played another Metroid 2 remake.
See, I want to play
I'll have a review for. I don't get into too much. I'll just do it right now. But pretty much everything Jeff said, and I would say that the Super Missiles really helped killing the Omega and Zeta Metroids because they took forever in the original. But I don't.
Yeah,
I wouldn't rely on using those for the Queen Metroid because I had to switch between turning them off to deal with her fireballs so I could get pickups and then turning it back on. And the weird thing is that when you turn the control options to arm your weapon like you would in Zero Mission Infusion, where you just hold the R button down and it'll pull up the missiles and you can just fire and then let go and then go back to shooting your plasma cannon or whatever. I found out that when you did that, it didn't differentiate between super missiles. I couldn't figure out how to switch to super missiles, so...
Yeah, I realized as soon when I was playing, I was like, I don't know how I'm going to use the super missiles if it's just on and off thing. But so I just switched it back to the Super Metroid style.
And I just plugged it with missiles because why not?
Yeah. And
they
also
they actually made Queen Metroid a little bit easier because all you have to do is shoot her when she's trying to lunge at you. Before, you had to wait for her mouth to open and take lots of hits, which is stupid.
Yeah.
No, I mean, basically, there's a very specific
There was no real way to avoid her dodges in the original Game Boy version. It's just, maybe there was, I just didn't know how, because there's so little room there.
Oh, and there's one thing that they, are you a Metroid fan, Brake and Frank?
Yeah, definitely. I love Metroid.
Did you play the Prime games or any of them?
Yeah, I played.
One thing they added to it was that if you're using the charge beam, like if you charge it up, you draw power ups into you.
Oh, I like that.
The multi bomb drop works is a little different now. They'll go up in the air and they'll spread out further, so they're actually.
Yeah, so the thing is you hold up and do the charge shot. If you hold down while you go into the ball and you launch the five bombs, but instead of them just start spreading out on the ground, if you hold down, they launch straight up and then they all go off in succession and they launch you way up into the air as the
A great addition.
Yeah, sure. There's a ton of great stuff. If you don't have it, dude, I'll get it.
The weapon and stuff like that, that's cool too.
Frank, you don't have a PC. I found a Mac version. I'll get it to you if you want.
Oh, fuck yeah. Heck yeah. I'll play it. That's something I will play on this.
Do you have a controller, Frank?
I don't. Do you need one?
You might be able to use your PS3 controller, but you're going to have to get a USB cable to connect
to the laptop.
I would definitely need
to get drivers manually, because I don't know if it will auto detect for you.
I could probably manage that. I would do that for this game for sure. Yeah. So, wow, that's cool, man. Yeah, I'll definitely take that link, man. I'll try to give it a try. Like between work and other shit I got going on right now, I really am limited on time. But I'll definitely try to give that a go for sure.
Well, I mean, it's a Metroid game, and it's a 2D Metroid game, and it's the typical 2D Metroid length. If you're really good at it, you can beat it in under 2 hours.
But as for score goes, I'm going to give it a 9.5 out of 10.
Ooh, wow.
So if you're a gamer it'll take you about 200 hours.
The only reason I wouldn't give it a 10 out of 10 is because it still has room for improvement.
That's pretty much where I would stand with it as well.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to our stinkos this week, guys. Let me try mine first. I'm going to go first this time.
Can I go last?
Yeah, absolutely.
Mine ties into my Sweeto.
Absolutely, man. Mine also ties into my Sweeto, sort of, but I'll let
Stone
you go
Troll Boss and MS5. Metal Slug 5? Yeah.
Let's see. More car trouble. I fucking had to get my goddamn calipers, brake pads, fucking rotors, all that
God
shit.
God damn it, Freak 5 Chaos.
What do you do now, son of a bitch?
It says, I was at a zoo a couple days ago. I learned there's a tree called a golden shower tree. I'm not surprised that saying exists, but I know exactly why he said that.
And I love him for it.
More car trouble. It's it like I'm I think this car's at the end of it. It's like usefulness for me. Like I'm gonna try to get rid of this goddamn car.
What kind of car is it?
It's a nice car. It's a 2004 Toyota Camry, but I just don't have the money to keep fixing these things. It's like every time like something comes up, like that's $200-$300 that I just don't fucking have. Like, and another stinko goes to this Just Brakes place that wanted to charge me like $800 for this. My dad had a friend.
Is it really Just Brakes?
Oh God! They gave me a quote of $840, and I'm like, Jesus Christ! That's like, I mean, do you want to rate me now or now and later? It's like Jesus Christ, man. $849. I couldn't even get that much credit there. I ended up getting like $700 worth of credit at Just Brakes, but I'm luckily I didn't fucking didn't do it. I didn't buy into that, and I let my dad help me out. Luckily he knew a mechanic, and the mechanic did it for super cheap and gave me a couple of new front tires too for like $250 total. So got really lucky with that. Like, my dad ended up helping me out. So I was really lucky that my dad was in a position to do that. So more car trouble definitely is my stinko, but my parents definitely get, my sweeto of the week. Also, my roommates, like, I don't know what part of don't download torrents illegally, because I got a notice from the cable company that they didn't understand. So I told them, I'm like, this is it. I have to change my password. You guys are no longer able to download shit. I just don't want any.
You have hassle. Roommates?
Yeah.
Where are you?
Yeah. We have roommates that live in the basement, dude. It's the only way we can
I don't think you call them roommates. Aren't they tenants?
Tenants, yeah. Whatever. You know, I mean,
you're trying to call them roommates. So you don't get sued if you're called what's the term? Slumlord.
I am not a slumlord, you son of a bitch. they live in a fine place, man. I take care of everything. You know, it's not what you're thinking. I'm definitely not a slumlord. But if somebody tells you don't download shit illegally, then you don't do it.
Only Frank can get illegal porn.
No, I don't even download illegal porn because there's no need to. Like, you can go to RedTube or Pornhub or whatever. Like, and I pay
or just fire up a Tor browser.
Yeah, right. I pay for all the movies I see. Like, I go out to the movies. I know I spend too much and all this stuff. But if I don't spend money on going to see movies, then, you know, then that, you know,
what,
maybe.
What am I doing with my life?
Yeah. What am I? Exactly. That's, you're right, Mug. Like, I live a sad existence, Wiffix and I. We actually like to have fun at the movies, you know. It's like, whatever. But no, it's
it may be fun to you, but for everybody else who has to watch it, I mean, well, I guess we have fun too.
But lately, the movies I've been seeing, like Batman versus Superman and fucking whatever you call that, Suicide Squad, like
Suicide Shit,
yeah, Suicide Shit or Shit Squad is what they should have called that movie. But yeah, I don't know. Just the fact of getting out every once in a while is good. It's healthy for people, you know. I don't know. But I don't download torrents just because I don't want these fucking notices from Comcast. And I'm not tech savvy enough to know how to not, like, let them know. I know there's things you can do, like VRNs and whatever else to shield yourself from that shit. But I don't know how to do that. Like, I really don't, you know. So that's
tell them if they're going to do that, they might as well jump on someone else's IP.
Well, yeah, like not this IP. I didn't get a notice for a long time because I told him about it a long time ago, and he set up a VPN and all this shit. But just yesterday or day before, I got another notice. So I'm like, I already gave you two warnings. This is it. You know, I can't keep getting these things from Comcast. You know, I don't know. I don't want to be one of the examples of, you know. This guy downloaded shit illegal and he gets in trouble. You know, that's not what I need. So I just don't do it. But those are my stinkos of the week, man. Breakman, what about you, man?
I wanted to go last.
Oh, shit. I'm sorry, Breakman. That's right. God, man. My head's in a weird place. Mug.
I know. Like, you're druggy. Next. I mean, I'm sorry. What was that?
I wish, man. Mug, next.
Well, like I said, and, you know, as my sweeto, AM2R is fucking awesome and everyone needs to play it. The shit thing is that's been made a bit more difficult by Nintendo since they issued a DMCA takedown notice for it. Now, it sucks. It's not, you know, it's not surprising, but people acting like Nintendo is completely wrong and acting unethically in doing so are starting to get on my fucking nerves.
Yeah.
Because I mean, sure.
It's like, even, okay, even the thing is, it's like,
and they don't need to do what they did.
That's not true. That's not true. That applies to trademark, not to copyright. And it should be challenged. Like, you know, you don't have to aggressively defend copyright. You have to aggressively defend trademark. They're two very different things.
But even if that weren't the case, they still have to protect their bottom line. And this, the existence of this game does threaten the sale of the virtual console version.
Yes, it's like this. Yeah, I mean, this makes this game, you know, this game makes completely obsolete a product they are actively selling.
Yeah. Well,
that is the end of story. I mean,
you know,
yes,
what Nintendo should do, though?
Within the rights. One thing but what gets me about this, they didn't issue a C&D. They issued a DMCA takedown. You can't host it. And you know, Dr. M64 said that he's going to continue to update the game and just, you know, release update files for it.
Hmm.
which is interesting. And you know, and I was wondering, it's like, if they're not doing a C&D, and this is pure pipe dream speculation on my part.
And Nintendo hired him, and they're gonna do a console. Yeah, it's release.
Like, yeah, I'm like, and if they did that, I'd be like, fuck yeah, that because I mean, essentially, they've done something. You know, he essentially revitalized a franchise that Nintendo's let languish for what, 6 years now.
Yeah,
since Other M was shat out the door. I get irritated with people getting all bent out of shape. They're like, boycott Nintendo, boycott Federation Force, whatever. Speaking of which, Federation Force looks like ass. I'm like, I don't even have a stake in the game, but I've seen footage of it.
It
like,
looks like ass, but it might not be ass.
It might not be ass.
That's what I just mean visually. I'm like, I know the 3DS can put out better graphics.
Oh, yeah. No question.
These look like, it looks like they're using placeholder models.
Yeah, you're right.
What I saw someone did was this thing. It's like, instead of a boycott, how about a boycott? I was like, what's that? Basically, go to the virtual console things and buy copies, buy digital copies of the good Metroid games.
Or if you already have the game, you could go to GameStop, get a card for the game, or just eShop cards, and then
tell
them to buy the games.
Yeah, and basically kind of, spread the word of the good games and kind of reinforce that, people want to buy Metroid games, but not this one. Yeah. Like this, we like the series. We don't like this particular one. Because essentially, the way, boycotts,
or
especially
it's not
in the modern
age. We don't like it, we just don't want this.
Well, the problem is boycotts in the modern age don't work. Because boycotts, you can't do enough to affect a company's bottom line. It's like people are like, oh, we're going to boycott Ghostbusters, whatever.
None of that shit works.
It's just aggravating. But,
I see your point, Mug. Hopefully they do come to some sort of agreement, and the folks at Nintendo really look at this game and decide if it's worthy of their time and effort to, maybe tweak some shit and release it as their own, and then maybe hire these guys, these talented. Obviously, this guy's really talented.
They make a completely new Metroid 2 remake with some of the ideas that he put in that game,
right? Or at least take the gist of what this guy's doing.
We need to start our own company here, guys. Like I see like opportunity, like a mediator between these two, like the people that want to start these games. They want to make these games that are based on Nintendo properties. And between Nintendo itself, obviously they can't communicate with Nintendo.
I don't understand why they can't.
No Japanese, because we need to talk to NTL.
I think we could. Well, Moria knows Japanese.
Yeah, Moria.
I don't know that much Japanese, dude.
I don't care.
I could not do like corporate mediation, that kind of thing. That's
pooping
well
on my imagination.
No. You're wrong, Mug. Get on this, man. We need to do this.
I'm on it. I'll see what I can. I'll see what I can scare up.
We need to do this. Like this is everybody's calling for it, man. Like this is your calling in life, Mug. You need to get on this, man. This is it right here.
I will get right on. I will get right on Kickstarter and get things working.
But like honestly, like isn't there some sort of like petition like people can sign to show Nintendo? Mm-hmm. Like
petitions don't work.
Sometimes
petitions are online petitions are almost universally garbage.
Yeah.
And the thing is, Metroid is not a popular enough franchise for Nintendo to really care all that much.
I really don't understand that, man. I thought Metroid was
third. It's never sold well in Japan.
It's always been more popular in the West.
Yeah, popular here. But you would think that they would be onto something here, like up to and including maybe making a really legitimate first person.
Like, I think Fusion Zero Mission were both released in America first.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's funny is I think that, what Nintendo should do, I think what would make them a lot of money would be to put out a PC port of the Metroid Prime trilogy.
Yeah.
I think they would make bank on that.
Yeah. Well, maybe like they're delving into mobile games now. Maybe they'll start thinking about the PC a little bit more, man. Maybe make those games.
I mean, the PC's technically not a console, so it's not a competitor.
Yeah, right. right.
And plus, I mean, these are old games, and it's like essentially like you know that there's a they know that there's some market for it, or else they wouldn't have bothered putting up the Metroid Prime trilogy on the Wii U eShop.
Yeah. All right, Eric.
Buy that for $1.
Yeah, for sure. All right, we need to move on. Eric, you're Stinko.
Stinko is from thinkprogress.org. A 6-year-old girl was handcuffed at school for taking candy.
That, how dare she?
The fuck, man.
Like that little bitch.
Yeah, exactly.
Wait, hang on. Eric, wait. We must know. Was she black?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. I haven't read the article yet.
Well, then how are we supposed to know if who should we be outraged on behalf of?
Wait a minute. It's Chicago. Well,
whatever Fox News tells us, that's what we.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyways, a woman is suing the Chicago Board of Education and security guard for handcuffing her 6-year-old daughter at school after other students said she took candy off a teacher's desk. The incident took place in March, and Marlena Wardlow says her daughter, Madison Moore, was handcuffed by a school security guard and told to sit under a stairwell under the school boilers for about an hour.
Are you fucking kidding me?
That's fucked up. I'm like, okay, the handcuffing is one thing, but that's like
according to thing. There's more. It says Madison, who has special needs, was crying, sweating, invisibly scared and distraught. So they took someone who was probably developmentally disabled and made her endure such a thing.
Oh, it gets worse. Keep on going, Eric.
And it says, in an interview with the Daily News, Wardlow said the school security treated Madison harshly. He said, I'm teaching her a fucking lesson. They censored out the fucking part. She took a piece of candy and I handcuffed her under the stairs.
Oh, boy. This is in a nutshell.
And Wardlow said the candy was actually a part of her lunch, so
Jesus Christ,
I guess she wanted it early.
Yeah. Well, luckily, they fired the security guard, which is good. But Jesus Christ, man. Like, this is what we're boiling.
And they put a do not hire note on his personal profile.
Why should he be hired anywhere?
Like, basically, I mean, he shouldn't be allowed in any form of any position of authority. Or
absolutely, man. Of course, the cops are probably
being sued for excessive force, intentionally inflicted emotional distress, and false imprisonment.
All of which are absolutely 100% true. Like, that's if everything went down as it said, which how could you not? Like,
It was a black student,
no question. Like that you hit the nail on the head. I know you were joking around, Mug, but sure enough, black little girl, special needs girl, sitting under a tree at 6 years, or sitting under a stairway at 6 years old, handcuffed. Wow. Exactly. So it just goes on, Eric. We're all in agreement, right? I mean, this is
fucking,
you know, whether she was special needs or not, it was still
guards.
Right. That just adds to it.
And cops.
Yeah. That just adds to the bad news. I mean, it just makes it even all that much worse. Like, Jesus Christ, man. I hope she wins this lawsuit. Like, there are certain frivolous lawsuits that you look at that you're like, man, that is so stupid and frivolous. This one is not frivolous. I hope she gets a good settlement out of this. That's the least that can happen.
The name of the school is Columbine High School. Oh, wait, no, I was talking about Columbine High School at the end.
Yeah.
Says the number of student resource officers has increased since Columbine High School students. But training on how to handle incidents involving children is still inconsistent. Isn't that true?
Well, I mean, we've talked about training before many a time. It's all about training. These people are not trained properly.
Mm-hmm.
People in authority, like they really trained and proper psych evals should be bare minimum to hire these people, man. Like it's ridiculous. All right, anything else on that, Eric?
No, I don't have another stinko. I guess I sort of do, but other than the fact that, I learned that Gary Johnson is totally not the alternative.
Yeah, Gary Johnson or Jill Stein. Jill Stein is not.
Wait, I mean, what about Gary Johnson? New guy that's entering. Who's this guy? I haven't heard anything about this guy.
Who? Vermin Supreme?
Vermin Supreme?
I don't know the name, but there's a new guy who's entering to be the anti-Trump on the Republican side.
Oh, that's the CIA guy that they're talking about. What the fuck is his name? I saw.
I don't know his name or anything. I've never heard of this guy.
Yeah, this guy's out of nowhere. He's a ex-CIA guy, and I don't know. I don't know too much about him to
speak. Yeah, that's exactly it. So I don't know anything about him.
Yeah, I know he's an anti-Trump guy. So
that's the only thing we know about him.
That's all we know.
He's anti-Trump.
He's anti-Trump. He's got my vote.
Yeah, exactly.
He's anti-Trump and he's anti-Clinton, which is me, but
by the way, have you guys seen the new ads that Hillary's putting up against Trump? Like, they're pretty effective. Like,
there's some good ones, but like the children that like see, like, this is a bad example from your children type video. Like, no shit.
Exactly. All right, Breakman, you're up next.
Okay. Last Friday before the show, I stopped over a place. I had an appointment, and I picked up some stuff, and they told me, well, this will be done. We'll be there between 8 and 5 tomorrow, but you should be already set up. Okay, well, I went home and plugged everything up and all that stuff, and I wasn't set up yet.
For what?
So I'm like, okay, well, they said a 50% chance. So I waited for the next day, and I admit I got a little impatient because they said 8 to 5. About 2 o'clock, I called. And the woman I spoke to said, no, that's there's no timeline. They could be it's 8 to any time. They could be there at any time today.
What,
and I'm like,
for what? Oh. What are you talking about? What point?
Frank, let me finish my story.
All right.
So I'm like, okay, that's fine. I guess I'll sit here and wait. I noticed late in the evening that it wasn't done. I went and got dinner and I ate and I relaxed a little. And about 11 o'clock, I decided to call because I was a little irritated. And they're like, oh, we're so sorry. Well, according to this, like, they said they've been there and it should be on in the next 24 hours. What?
What?
Okay. If you say so, what? Like, okay. So I called back that next day, early in the morning. I shouldn't say early in the morning, noon, because they, still wasn't working. And I talked to somebody who said they said they've been there, and they said something about like a dog or a tree or something like that. You're not close enough to the telephone poles. Or some other bullshit, but we'll get somebody there. And so I called a couple hours later, and I talked to the automated system, and the automated system said, you are now set up in an hour. Well, I was busy doing other shit, so I went and did my other shit, and it was about 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock when I was done. And I called – no, it was 4 o'clock. It was 4 o'clock when I was done, and I called, and I spoke to somebody who said, well, nobody's been there yet. Like a – nobody's been there. No. We'll call and get somebody there. About a half hour later, the cable people finally fucking showed up.
Yeah.
To install the internet in my home, which is my studio. I have cable internet now.
Yes.
It took me a few days and all the bullshit. I remember why I hate Time Warner Cable.
Yes.
When the cable guy got here, he was like, dude, I'm sorry. So, he didn't say dude, but he's like, I'm sorry. Like, this is the first I've heard of it. I'm sorry. I'm terribly sorry. I'm like, man, this isn't your fault. I've dealt with this company before. I know how it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, generally speaking, like that when you deal with the actual techs that come out for Time Warner stuff, the techs are fine.
Yeah, the techs are fine.
And a lot of time they subcontract out. And it's just Time Warner's administrative side is awful.
It's the same as Comcast. I'm fully convinced all cable companies suffer from the same thing, administrative bullshit. You know, that's all it is. Like, the people are fine. I used to work for Comcast back in the day when they weren't Comcast here. But, I'm glad, dude. I mean, cool. I mean, you obviously.
Yes, I have finally joined. I've joined the century. Yes. I now have cable.
I've noticed we didn't have any problems with the internet.
Yeah, I have had no problems as far as the Skype call is gone.
Everybody's coming in clear, so right on. That's awesome news, Breakman. A Stinko and a Sweeto at the same time.
Sweet. Yeah, so my Stinko is dealing with Time Warner and their bullshit, which, at some point I'm going to have to call them for tech support, and I know how much of a nightmare it's going to be, but The cable is so much better than the DSL. Mm. So much fucking better. So much faster.
Yeah, more. So much better. Yeah, for sure. Welcome to the club.
I got waiting for Cincinnati Bell. I had DSL, and they kept promising like we have this sophisticated plan. We're going to be adding our Fi optics everywhere. And they kept telling me like, oh, we're doing this later and later and later. And I got to the point where I said, okay, like I'm done waiting. You told me at this point that this summer you're going to have this big plan as far as your growth goes. And instead, like, you decide, like, you're going to kind of, like, slow back on your growth.
Yeah, they keep bullshitting with that stuff, dude.
So
I've been waiting.
I said I'm done with this and went and got cable.
Yeah, good for you, dude. I'm the same way. Like, they kept promising a lot of, like, fiber optics shit here, and it just never happened. So I'm like, fuck it. I'll deal with cable for now, you know, until they do get something better. Mug, you're sweeto.
Well, the Sweeto specifically, I've gone over it, but, you know, just kind of, I've been waiting for AMTOR for years to come out, and because, you know, Metroid 2 was kind of always one of my favorites that mm-hmm. you know, I always thought was kind of overlooked.
Yeah,
and very
that's
pleased.
Been developed for, what, 9 years
yeah,
now?
Yeah, it's a long time.
Quite a long-ass time. Yeah. And I was just really thrilled at how well it all turned out, and, yeah, I didn't go into, you know, a little bit of the Stinko stuff. Suffice it to say that, you know, things are, you know, all is not well at the homestead. Mm. You know, my marriage is essentially over.
That's right. Smug. I knew you were going
to.
So
we're
stuff.
Doing the, you know, since, you know, we're essentially separated but living together out of necessity.
Yeah.
You've talked about that before. I'm sorry. Yeah, I keep interrupting you, and I'm going to shut up right now. I'm going to mute
myself. God damn it, Brent, shut the fuck up. don't make me middle name you.
More like
Brent _ man, don't make me, you know. Get your ass back up there and clean your room.
Middle finger.
But the when going out and dating other people and everything, and actually this is what I was doing last Friday. I went out and saw someone else, and that went really well. And that was the other thing that went, turned out nicely that weekend.
That's good,
It's been very up and down week for me.
Yeah.
But as I got, it's not, it's not 100% terrible.
I knew he was at an orgy. Didn't I tell you guys? Like I was.
Wasn't an orgy. It was a date.
Oh, that's what they're calling it nowadays. A date. Okay.
How many people do you think were there, Frank?
I have breaking news.
What's breaking
news? They were in a restaurant and it broke out and
yes.
Like a party all of a sudden.
Restaurant in quotes. Restaurant in quotes.
They were at the Olive Garden and all of a sudden like everybody was like, ah, screw the endless salad. I want some endless penis. Come on, let's do this.
All right, what's the breaking news?
Look at my enormous penis. Start melting away.
Eric, what's the breaking news?
Breaking news. Apparently, Final Fantasy 15 has been delayed to November 23rd.
Oh, what a shock. That's actually good timing for that game. I wondered if
there was so much other shit coming out in September. Yeah. It probably would kill everything else.
Yeah, no, that's good news. Actually, I don't mind that news.
I've completely forgot about everything else that's coming out until the beginning of December.
It's not like there's anything else coming out in December, because it might as well be December at that point if it's like the very end of November.
Hey, Mug, I'm sorry.
There's only one thing coming out in December that matters.
What? Halo 25?
No.
In a box.
South Park game.
Oh yeah. Mm. Hey, Mug.
Interesting to see how many people buy South Park over Final Fantasy.
No,
I will be. I'm sorry, Final Fantasy. I've been a long time fan, and I'm addicted to your mobile game. But yeah, I'll be buying
Final Fantasy. Has been a wait and see series for me and for a very long time.
I agree, Mug.
After what happened to me with the last like 13, like I like 13, but I love 13 too. But then when I bought Lightning Returns, I think that was the most unhappy I've ever been with the sequel.
Yeah, I'm not happy with that.
After Lightning Returns, I'm not looking forward. I'm looking fingers crossed forward, you know?
Oh my God, Dungeon Buster!
I know there were the two demos. I didn't play. You know, I didn't get Type Zero, so I didn't play the one that came with that. I heard good things about that one. I played the Platinum demo that they had up for download. It reminded me a lot of Kingdom Hearts, which I fucking hate. And it looks really, really, really nice, but it has like a lot of frame rate hitches. Like,
that might not be the reason why it got delayed.
I like Kingdom Hearts games,
I don't like Kingdom Hearts, and I would rather sacrifice some visual quality for a smooth frame rate personally.
I totally agree with that, Mug. How many times have I said that, dude? Yes.
I will wait and see. I mean, I'm curious. It has a lot of neat stuff. I do want to check out the movie, the Kingsglaive movie, just because, I mean, it looks visually,
outstanding. As long as it's not an art splooge fest, Advent Children was. I mean, I liked Advent Children for the crazy what the fuckery of it, but it's still not a good movie.
No, it's not at all. And what's funny is, I went back and I looked at the Blu-ray version of it, the complete edition or whatever. Mm-hmm. And if you look at, only the new scenes that they added in for the Blu-ray are in full HD. Everything else is pixelated.
Yep.
All the scenes are badly upscaled.
Yep. Dungeon Buster says, everybody forgets Frank's still living in the glory days of Sodom and Gomorrah because he was there. That's true. Frank inspired the stories of their depravity. Depravity, man.
That's why we don't hear from Wiffick. She's a pillar of salt.
He was legend, Dungeon Buster says. Dungeon Buster also says, speaking of demos, the Neo demos coming out later this month. Yes. All right, let's get back to this. Mug, real quickly, dude, I'm sorry to hear about all your stuff, dude. Like, that shit really sucks.
I've dealt with a lot of that. Sweeto. You should be, saying, oh, man, that's good.
No, I was just about ready to say I'm happy that
I know.
Getting back on the horse and, enjoying life, dude, because that's what it's all about, man.
I don't know if that's what it's all about, but,
Well, I'm trying to make the best of a bad situation.
That's good, man. You're not just sitting down in the dumps, feeling sorry for yourself.
I'd be lying if I said I wasn't tempted.
Yeah.
My best friend lives on the other side of the world, and my father died last year, so I don't really have anyone that I can go to.
Dude, come on over to Denver, dude. You can always crash here. Like, it might be a couch. Yeah.
I'm not even talking about physically. It's just my dad and I got closer in the second half of my life.
Yeah.
And he's the only member of my immediate family that I'm in any way close to, family really that I'm.
Dude, you're not alone, dude. I've got my parents, but we've had a rocky relationship, and I know how that shit goes, dude. But you have my number, Mug. It's not just the show.
Yeah, I know. I appreciate it, man. Yeah.
All right, guys.
Someone broke the street chain in King of Fighters 14.
I don't know what that means.
Yeah. All right, let's move on. Let's see. Eric, you're Sweeto.
The weekend. Yeah. No, payday.
That's always good. I've already went through mine, and I think, Brake, you went through your Sweeto, so let's move on. Real quickly, Eric, I'm going to do a quick review of Suicide Squad.
I'll just do it, and I'll leave you my score.
Yeah.
And I'll add.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, here's my review. It sucked.
Yeah, I'm not going to say it sucked. I am going to say it was slightly better than Batman versus Superman, which isn't saying much. But I'm giving it a 3. I think I gave Batman versus Superman a 1.
It was like diarrhea instead of explosive diarrhea.
Yes, it was. The action was fine. The acting was okay. The plot was awful. I felt there was too much emphasis on Deadshot, like Dungeon Buster was talking about. But overall.
Does play a good Deadshot, though.
He plays okay. He's good in almost anything. He's just a good actor. But Harlequin was the only standout. And Jared Leto as the Joker reminded me a lot of the way I pictured the Joker to be in, something like The Killing Joke. Like, if that his portrayal was spot on, I thought. I don't know what
a lot of people had problem with him being a method actor, though.
Yeah. But
from what I understand, it's like the movie is, it's largely a schizophrenic mess in tone, tonally just completely disjointed because the studio
some of those characters aren't even given development.
Yeah. I mean, but apparently, like, the studio was just like, oh, shit, you know, this, the trailer, you know, people hated Batman v Superman. And, you know, the trailer was really, you know, went over really well because it was, you know, it kind of made this kind of lighthearted, fun sort of deal. And that's not what this movie is. We need to reshoot virtually everything. Yeah. And so apparently there are two very different versions of the film, you know, two vastly different versions of the film that exist in editing. So I'm wondering if we might see something like,
you know, I'm hoping for a director's cut, because I am curious. Freak Fried brings up a really big
Freak Fried.
Yeah, Freak Fried.
Freak Fried Chaos.
Yeah, yeah.
I know. It's like Kentucky but Fried Movie too.
He brought up a good point with Slipknot. There wasn't a lot there. Like, a lot of the character development really wasn't there. To me, it was a mess of a movie. I like some of the action
sequences. Is Captain Boomerang really supposed to be that?
Oh my god!
That, the Australian.
They totally fucked up his character, in my opinion. They didn't do much with him. That's a problem with these DC movies. Like, they don't know what to do with their characters. Like, everybody in the Marvel.
The impression I get is that they keep trying to do too much at once.
Yeah, there was way too much. They could have had half the roster and did a better job. Like, honestly,
yeah, like they're not well. Like, Batman v Superman was a major example of that. They're not willing to let anything simmer.
Right.
They're trying to catch up with Marvel is their problem.
Yeah,
instead of like making their own thing, they're like on a quest to catch up with Marvel. Instead of doing that, if they just did their own thing, they'd be okay.
Yeah, I totally agree with that.
Well, it's not even
that.
I mean, if they wanted to catch up with Marvel, that's one thing. But you need to release – follow Marvel's pattern.
Release
a bunch of individual movies to establish the characters.
Yeah.
Then you get your big Justice League.
Well, that's what I mean.
Thing.
Like, they're skipping past that.
They don't even –
like, well, Marvel's already established his characters. We want to catch up to him. Look, so instead of that –
check this out.
Let's go right to it.
They don't necessarily even need to do that, Mug. Like release individual movies to put them together. But they just need – they need – to do it in a way where they do give a little bit of backstory. They don't need a ton. Like, we all know these characters. Like, I know Superman. I know Batman.
Yeah, Flash. I don't know any of the Suicide Squad, except for, like, Harley and Deadshot and
maybe one other character. Joker. Everybody knows Joker. Everybody knows, like, maybe Deadshot.
Killer Croc.
Yeah, Killer Croc for sure, if you've read the comics.
Are they gonna do a movie series with – with Lex being the good guy and leading his own team?
Yeah.
I forgot what the name of that group was.
I'm not sure. That's a good question. God damn it, Freak Fried Chaos says, Frank starts agreeing with me and it goes to another ad. No, I agree with you, Freak Five. Like Slipknot, like, who the fuck is that? Like, honestly, like, who's that? Like, they don't give you a lot on some of the characters. Even Captain Boomerang, they kind of did that too. And Boomerang's got a solid history in the comics too. But I don't know. They missed the mark on a lot of things in that movie. The acting was fine. Whatever. You know, I give it a 3 out of 10. Like, barely. Okay. What else, Eric? Did you want to add anything to what Mug said about Metroid?
No, I already pretty much gave you my review earlier.
All right. And Mug,
as for a score for a Suicide Squad, I'd give it a 4.5 because I gave Batman vs. Superman 4, so it's only slightly better than that.
Yeah, see, I'm thinking the same lines, but I think they're way worse movies than what you think. But okay. Mug, did you want to add anything to your Metroid review at all?
What's that?
Did you want to add anything to your –
I think I've gushed about it enough.
Right.
I would just say that, you know, it really like I mentioned before, like, it takes in that, you know, drawing in power ups from the Metroid Prime thing, and it gives you a little more story. Like, you know, whenever you enter a new area, like, you encounter a new creature, like, not every single little type of creature, but like new bosses and stuff like that, it'll give you this little log entry to where you can read some, you know, information about the what this creature is and that kind of thing. So it's little touches of Metroid Prime that kind of fill in the some narrative gaps that's there if you want to mess with it, but it doesn't have to distract from the game. It's just like it strikes this really nice balance between like the how deep like the Prime games were and how, you know, and without being as obtrusive, like, say, Metroid Fusion's plot was, how it kind of led you around by the nose.
Yeah. No.
I might be in a small minority here, but Metroid Prime was probably my favorite Metroid game.
I like Metroid Prime.
Metroid Prime is a really good game. I never quite finished it. I actually got to the Metroid Prime, like the very final enemy of the game.
Yep.
And I got killed, and something happened. I don't remember what it was, but I got distracted, and I never went back and finished it.
It was really tough.
I tried to kill that boss for about a week. Repeatedly, and every time you die, you have to go back to the beginning of the level. At the end of the week, I said, you know what, I'm going to go play something else. I didn't beat it either.
Yeah, I beat it, but it took a long
time. But other than that, it was – shut up, Frank.
Yeah.
But other than that, it was a fun game.
It took a long time. It sucked.
Shut up, Frank.
All right, we're going to end the show with Breakman's review of Daredevil Season 2. Please, no spoilers. I have not seen all of
Season 2. Oh, man. Have you seen the first season of Daredevil?
I did. I saw the first season.
Okay, this season of Daredevil the second season goes into more of a mysticism towards the end of the level. But at the beginning of the level, and this isn't a big spoiler because everybody knows it, the beginning of the season, is really about the new vigilante in town, the Punisher.
Mm-hmm.
For people like me who grew up in the 90s, the Punisher was kind of the anti-superhero. Like, he was the fun guy who was willing to kill. Again, most superheroes don't. And that's what it comes into a big play in the really beginning of the season is, you know, kill versus not kill. Because Daredevil is strictly in the I will not kill people. Yeah. Whereas Punisher isn't strictly the I'm going to kill this guy because he's a piece of shit. And he's a piece of shit. I really loved the second season. I think Daredevil might be my favorite show.
I like Daredevil quite a bit.
In the first season, I think like the second episode, it has one of the best fight scenes I've ever seen. It's this one shot where he fights the entire Russian mafia and beats crap out of him. In this one, he takes on the entire Italian mafia, and it seems like there are more guys, and this is a bigger fight. But they do that one-shot fight scene type thing, which is I thought that was the best scene. The first season had the best fight scene I've ever seen. I think the second season topped it.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed this show.
I only had one real problem with the second season.
Mm.
And that was, I can't remember the name of the guy they said was in charge. It was like the blacksmith or something like that. The way that they resolved that was vague.
Really resolve it was the thing.
Yeah, that was the thing. I was like, okay, so is that guy the blacksmith? And then they finished that story arc, and it's just like, boom, and then they're just done with it. And I was like, that was very anticlimactic. That was the only real problem I had with the season.
I think they left that open.
I think they left how they handled Elektra and everything, but the rest of it was just like that. You know, that was the one thing I'm just like, so close.
Yeah, I think they left that open for when they do the Punisher show inevitably. I'll give you a little spoiler. The thing that made one of the things that made the first season as amazing as it was, as I think that the best villain within the Marvel universe, even better than Loki, has been Vincent D'Onofrio. Is that how you pronounce his name?
D'Onofrio.
Well, what you guys said.
D'Onofrio.
As Wilson Fisk.
He is really good.
Yeah, he has been absolutely perfect, I think. Like, he is – I think he's the best villain in the Marvel Universe right now. And he's not the main villain of the second season, but he makes a cameo for a few episodes. And he is impressive even in this cameo performance.
Yeah.
He still always feels like a threat no matter what's going on.
Yeah. I want a show based around him at this point. Like, he's great. Like, he has mastered this villainy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, somebody pay me money to do a review for a snack review of the Swedish fish cream Oreos.
Ugh.
Oh, yeah. God.
No way. That sounds disgusting.
I'd want money for it.
I give the second season of Daredevil a 9 compared to the 10 I gave the first season. It's the best show. It might be the best show I've ever seen.
And that's one thing where they really illustrate, especially for a character like, I don't know, it's not as big on bombast and everything as like a lot of Marvel characters are, but it really benefits from the long form structure of.
Yeah, I totally agree with that assessment. Dungeon Buster says I need to see this now. You definitely do, dude. Daredevil. I saw the first couple of episodes of Daredevil season 2, and I that's the next show I'm finishing up. I started Stranger Things, which is fantastic. But
I've heard that's a really good.
I'm also curious to. I haven't watched the trailer yet or anything, but I'm very curious to see how they handle Luke Cage.
Yeah, Luke Cage would be awesome.
The first trailer was really good, and he was really good in the first season of Jessica Jones.
I need to see Jessica Jones too, man.
Actually, they're
another really good villain. Like he is the guy, the guy who plays. I'm sorry, what?
Freak had a question. He says if I had done a review for the Mac and Cheetos thing for BK, they're not selling him anymore, so I can't do that.
Yeah. I agree with you, Brake. It's a great series. I think right now my series to watch is Night of. The mini kind of series that they're doing on HBO is absolutely fantastic. I'll do a review of that after I watch the entire season, but so far it's James Gandolfini's final kind of passion project thing that he never got to act in, but they give him executive producing credits, and is it good, man. I can't wait to talk about that show. But Daredevil season 2 is definitely on my radar, Break. So you're giving it a 9 out of 10. That's pretty
good. Yeah, this one goes in more, like I said, towards the end of the season, it goes in more into the mysticism and stuff that, you know, the people who aren't like into the science fiction or magic might be a little like kind of uncomfortable with. But still, this is such a good show that I think those people need to get the fuck over it.
And that's the thing. It's like if you're dealing with Marvel, you have to accept that mysticism and some of that. It's part and parcel of the Marvel universe.
Yeah. And especially
when when Iron Fist gets his own show.
And also
the Doctor Strange movie is also coming. I'm like, you can't discount that.
Oh, yeah. I think
that's
out this year, isn't it?
And by the way,
next year, maybe?
No, this year. Okay. This year.
November.
Yeah. November. Cool. Yeah. I do not be too surprised if you see some of these characters like Punisher and Wilson Fisk and all these other characters show up in the Marvel Universe cinematic universe.
I'm really glad that they killed him off for The Walking Dead because it led him down the path of being a Punisher, and I think he's fucking awesome as a Punisher.
He's a great pick.
He is fucking – I love him as a Punisher.
Yeah,
he's great. I think I mentioned that before. It's like he would not have been like, who should we cast as the Punisher? Shane from The Walking Dead. I would have been, huh?
Yeah.
And then I was like, huh.
That's a great choice.
Holy crap. Yep. Damn. He's really good in choice. This role.
Yeah. Yes. Yes, he is.
Yeah. All right, guys. We got to wrap it up. Mug, plugs, please.
You can find me on Twitter or PSN or Steam or Xbox Live. It's all the same thing. It's Moria Mug, MoriaMug. Hit me up.
All right. Eric, your plugs.
you can find me on Twitter at EricRPG, and you can find my reviews on sites like TotallyGen.com, BostonBasherBA.com. I have a review of Batman Telltale Episode 1, Realm of Shadows, up there. And there's other sites like GameTactics.com and HonestGamers.com and VogNetwork.com.
All right. What about you, Bray?
I do have a YouTube page or channel, but I haven't used it in a while.
Yeah.
I might think about doing a video if I could find something that interests me.
Yeah. All right.
I have to shop tomorrow, so I'll look around.
All right.
Before I do my plugs, I was wondering if you guys saw my tweet I sent to you about the next season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
I have not.
Well, I'm glad I tweeted you guys. So anyways, this next season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is going to have a superhero that both of you seem to like, and I said was lame.
Oh, yeah. I saw the design. It's fucking awful. Ghost Rider?
Yes. Ghost Rider will be coming to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. this season.
What?
Apparently, it'll be a
Hopefully, it's not Nick Cage.
Now, this is the latest Ghost Rider, which is, I can't remember his first name, Reyes is his last name.
Oh, the one with the car and all that.
Yeah. He's not,
I'm down for that. Like, there's some interesting stories that I've seen of the new comic that I'd be down to see in movie form. So,
I just know how much you two both like Ghost Rider.
I really like Ghost Rider, and I especially like the motorcycle Ghost Rider. But I'm down for this other Ghost Rider as well, for sure. All right, Break.
Anyways, you can follow me at Break_Man and at RP Grinders, and send me a Would You Rather. Unless your name is Freak Fried Chaos. I can't do that for
you. Freak Fried Chaos has a question. He's been listening to the Thrawn trilogy again, and I heard that Thrawn will be added to Star Wars canon.
Yeah, it's like they're bringing him back in Rebels, I think it is.
If he was in a live action movie, who should play Thrawn? Dungeon Buster CS and Star Wars Rebels. If you were younger, Christopher Lee.
Christopher Lee's already Count Dooku, though, so it has to be.
I know. He's already been taken.
I don't know. My mental image of him, I could see him. I mean, Lee would do it. I mean, he could definitely do it. He has he's that tall and imposing figure. But, oh, man.
Yeah,
I think you would need that same kind of cultured, very kind of posh British sort of, aristocratic sort of air about him.
I can think of is Ian McGregor.
What about Jude Law? Ooh. Jude Law could do it.
I think he's too young.
Too young? Really?
I think you need someone at least in his 40s, probably around 50, to really pull off Thrawn well, because he needs to have this air of not just cultured sophistication, but of unquestionable authority. It's like, actually, basically, he needs to be Peter Cushing.
What about that dude? He's older now.
No, he said Patrick Stewart in chat.
What about that guy, the villain from Last Action Hero? That guy. I don't know his name, but.
What was his name? I don't think he'd be a good choice, but I know what you're talking about.
Really? I don't know. I'm looking at pictures here. What about Hugh Laurie?
Oh, man, I just had an idea. It would probably not at all work, but for the weird way that this guy acts, and I love this. I love Peter Stormare, or Stormare, or however you say it.
Stormare, yeah.
Like, he played Satan in Constantine.
Yeah, that guy.
He has this weird, heavily
in Prison Break too,
was he? Yeah, and he's also if you played Until Dawn, he's the
I got one. What about Jeremy Irons? No,
that could work. What
that would work. Yeah. I think so too.
Heck yeah, Jeremy Irons could be a perfect
What was the enemy's name? The villain's name in The Last Action Hero? Do you remember?
I don't, man. But that guy,
I love that movie, and I can't remember.
It wasn't Benedict, was it?
It could have. No, that was Commando. You're thinking, I think Benedict or, yeah.
Benedict. Well, Hans, no, Benedict
maybe.
Is a,
I'm thinking his name was Hans.
And one more, real quick, guys. What about the guy from In the Mouth of Madness? He was in Jurassic Park. He was in what's that?
I know exactly what you're thinking. I keep wanting to say Treat Williams, and that's not his name. It's a different guy.
Sam Neill is his name.
Sam Neill is Grant. Is that what you're talking about?
I don't know. Sam Neill. I think his name is Sam Neill.
If he were If he were younger, John Hurt. Sam Neill.
John Hurt. Yeah. But what about Sam Neill? Like, he could be a good Thrawn, I would think.
Possibly.
Yeah, the guy from Jurassic Park. He was in The Mouth of Madness. He was in Event Horizon. He's been in a bunch of movies.
The reason I asked if the guy in The Last Action Hero was Benedict. Charles Dance was the guy who played
Charles
him.
Dance. That's him. That's the guy. Charles Dance.
Yeah, and I was thinking because I know him from Alien 3.
Yep.
Yeah, he was the doctor.
Yep.
And I was like, I could see him doing it.
Yeah. Peter Stormare, Jeremy Irons could work. Note Grinder, Dance Party tonight. We're already over on the show, man. All right.
Loser. I mean, what?
Any other plugs, Breakman?
No.
I think I got everybody's plugs except for mine. Yeah, just check me out on Twitter at Frank Branches. If you have anything for the show at Outbreak Grinders, we'll be hopefully doing a Wherewithal soon. There's a bunch of movies.
You were right. His name is Benedict. It was Charles Dance who played him.
Yep, Charles Dance.
Yeah.
That guy would be perfect for that role too. Sam Neill, Charles Dance. Jeremy Irons.
I think we all agree on Jeremy Irons.
Jeremy Irons could really nail it.
Yeah.
Jeremy Irons is a little older than I would prefer. Yeah, but he could do it.
But his demeanor and the way that man acts, I think would be perfect.
I think he makes a better villain than a good guy, Jeremy Irons. But whatever. All right, guys, that's about it for this week. Unless anybody has anything else. Stay safe. Thanks for listening. We really appreciate everything. Thanks everybody in chat, Dungeon Buster, Freak Fried Chaos, and Wylan. Thank you guys for joining this week, guys. You guys really rock. Everybody on the archives, Flabby Sausage. The Stitcher problem should not be a Stitcher problem. You should be able to listen. I checked it out. It looks good to go. And everything else. Take care of this weekend, guys. Until next week, we want to see you here next week. Stay safe out there. We are out. Later, guys.